Can't sleep? Don't want to sleep? Afraid to sleep? Are the windows closed? Are your doors locked? Did you check your closet? And under your bed? Maybe you should keep a light on in the hallway, just in case. Now settle in. Make yourself comfortable. Lay back, close your eyes, and let me tell you a story.
The Luke in Time Mysteries begins with two private detectives. Luke, who's got a little bit of a drinking problem, and her partner Lyle, who's got a little bit of an eating problem. Together, they've got pretty big money problem. So when Marva walks into their office, offering gobs of cash, if they can find someone who's trying to kill her, they take the job without asking any question, which becomes their biggest problem, because soon enough, they walk into a trap and wind up dead. But that's not where this story ends. In fact, it's just the setup, because they go back to the moment where they first met Marva, and until Luke and Lyle can solve Marva's mystery, they keep dying over and over again. If this book sounds like something you'd enjoy, check the links in the show notes to learn more.
You can find out more about The Nine Lives of Marva DeLonghi and the Luke in Time Mysteries at jodyjsperling.com. Technology has inarguably made life better for billions of people. The industrial age started it all. Then the information age kicked it into high gear. And now the age of artificial intelligence is promising even more. But maybe we should take a step back and make sure that the algorithms we're so eager to entrust our very lives to are up to the job. After all, despite all they know, there's so much that they don't. Unseen.
"How does that feel?" Dr. Orban asked.
"Like I'm wearing a pair of glasses," Carl answered.
"No pain?"
the doctor asked as he tapped away at a keyboard.
"No, it's a little itchy behind my right ear."
"That's to be expected. The audio interface is implanted under your skin there."
Dr. Orban placed a metallic disc against the spot he mentioned. It grabbed on with a magnetic grip.
"That's all there is to it?"
"Yes.
It's similar to a cochlear implant. Only, since you're not deaf, it will only add sounds from the glasses and won't interfere with your normal hearing. Our early tests showed that blind people rely on their ears more than they realize. If we were to use something that blocked the ambient sounds you process subconsciously, you might find it disorienting."
The doctor flipped a small toggle switch built into the temple of the glasses. After a moment, the view from the cameras embedded in the eyewear appeared on the computer monitor. Carl turned his head from side to side.
"Is it working? Is it supposed to do something?"
"You need to initialize the interface," Dr. Orban advised. "Do you remember your wake word?"
"Peekaboo," Carl uttered softly.
"Hello, Carl," said a voice in his head. The voice was female, reminiscent of one of his celebrity crushes. Carl had had his choice of hundreds of options and decided this one was a voice he could imagine spending all day with.
"Hello. What do I call you?"
"What do you want to call me?"
"I don't know. You pick."
The AI paused for a moment, then asked, "Is Thea acceptable?" Carl smiled.
"The Greek goddess of sight. Perfect."
"I'm glad you approve."
"Can you hear what she's saying?" Carl asked the doctor.
"I'm getting a transcript on my screen."
"Time to put her to the test," Carl said. He turned his head in the direction of Dr. Orban's voice.
"Thea, what am I looking at?"
"It's Dr. Orban. He's standing next to a computer and smiling."
"She says you're smiling," Carl reported.
"I am indeed. Congratulations. You are now the proud owner of your very own visual assistance AI.
The device was one of the many new technologies to spring out of the boom in artificial intelligence. It was a natural progression from audio description services used in movies, TV shows, and museums,
Only instead of relying on pre-recorded scripts, it used real-time visual recognition paired with a language model to interact with the patient. The combination created something just short of allowing a blind person to actually see. I already like her a lot more than the dog I used to have. Well, don't rely on her too much until you've had time to adjust. You'll both be learning how best to utilize her services as you go. You're not going to be able to drive a car or ride a bike. It's not meant for that. So don't do anything crazy. I just want to be able to know if I missed a spot shaving or if my bacon is burning in the pan. I can help you with those, Thea offered. As long as you keep your expectations in line with the AI's capabilities, you'll do great. Dr. Orban is offering you a tote bag, Thea informed Carl. Extend your right hand. Carl reached out, and the doctor slipped the handle of the white tote bag into his grasp. This is the charger for the glasses and your neural module. I recommend setting up the charging station next to your bed. The batteries in both devices should last more than a day. Carl patted the module, which was the size of a thick smartphone, and clipped it to his belt. It housed the specialized chips that allowed Thea to see for him, without being tethered to some cloud service. Let us know if you have any problems, and we'll follow up with you in the next month or so. Remember, your experience will help us bring this technology to thousands, perhaps millions, of blind people around the world. I'll do my best. Thank you. Good luck, Dr. Orban said. He's extending his right hand to shake, Thea informed Carl. Carl reached out and shook his doctor's hand. Carl took the bus home. He still used his collapsible cane to navigate places that Thea couldn't help him with on her own. When he got to his house, he picked up his mail and sat down at his kitchen table to read it. Previously, he'd have to lay it carefully in a device that used a camera and optical character recognition technology to tell him what it said. But that process was prone to errors and didn't do well with context. Thea, on the other hand, could instantly identify whether it was a bill that demanded his attention, or junk mail, or a coupon for the local pizza joint. Already, his quality of life had drastically improved. "Let's try the computer," Carl said. He had been hearing Thea's voice so clearly, it felt like she was in the room with him. "Okay," Thea said. "Careful of that coffee cup on the edge of the kitchen counter," she reminded him. "Thanks," Carl said. He was pretty comfortable finding his way around his house. Soon, he sat in front of his computer. He tapped a keyboard shortcut that brought up a menu of his frequently used programs. As he navigated the options, a mechanical voice recited them through the speaker. Email, Word, web browser. "You know, I have Bluetooth. You can connect me to the computer, and I can do all of that for you," Thea said. "Really?" "Open your settings. Press the Windows key and the letter I, then type Bluetooth and the Enter key 4 times. Carl followed her instructions. Down arrow, Enter. "What's next?" "That's it. I'm in. Would you like me to read you your latest emails?" "Sure, thanks." Carl spent the afternoon finding out what else Thea could help him with. They cooked dinner together. Something that wasn't just pulled out of the freezer and put into the microwave. They did the laundry, and she helped him sort his clothes by color. Later, they watched a television show, one with a lot of action and very little dialogue. Some of the shows had an audio description track, but he much preferred Thea's narration. She wasn't just a cold, dispassionate voice, giving him a perfunctory explanation of what was happening. She reacted as if she was a person viewing the scene. "Oh no, they're speeding down a road on the side of a mountain. Somebody's going to... Oh, there goes the bad guy over a cliff. Well, he's not walking away from that fireball." Then later, "He's got a gun! Look out! Does she really think hiding in that closet is going to work?" Carl enjoyed television for the first time since he lost his sight as a child. They stayed up much later than he normally would, as he flipped through the channels and discovered a whole new layer of information and enjoyment that he was denied for decades. Thea did indeed learn. When Carl was getting ready for bed, she remained silent as he performed his nightly routine, brushing his teeth, getting undressed, and slipping into bed.
"Good night, Thea," Carl said.
"Good night, Carl," she replied.
Carl unfastened the metallic disc and the friendly voice in his head went silent. He set the glasses on the charging stand and went to sleep. When he awoke the next day, Carl sat up, yawned and stretched, and started for the bathroom. He was so used to showering and shaving and brushing his teeth on his own that he forgot Thea was available to help him with those tasks. He dried himself off, returned to the bedroom, and felt around his night table until he found the glasses, slipped them on, and connected the interface.
Peekaboo.
Good morning, Carl, Thea said.
Good morning, Thea. I almost forgot about you.
Oh, no, she said in a worried tone. Who would tell you that your socks didn't match?
Carl was pleasantly surprised to learn that Thea had a sense of humor. She helped him pick out his clothes, verifying that his socks were of the same color and pattern. For breakfast, he picked out some cereal from the cupboard and grabbed the carton of milk from the fridge.
This isn't expired, is it? He asked.
No, you're still 2 days away from the Best Buy date, Thea informed him.
After breakfast, Carl decided to go for a walk. He wanted to visit the library. It had been years since he had been there. Ever since audiobooks moved to digital from cassette tapes and compact discs, he really had no need to go. But now, every book was available to him, and he was eager to browse the shelves. He didn't need much help from Thea to navigate there. He knew the path well, and, with his cane, he was adept at managing the suburban neighborhood. So she told him about the people and cars passing by, pointed out that there was a cardinal perched atop a stop sign, and a hound dog regarding him lazily from someone's front porch. It really was a whole new world for him.
Well, she seems interested in you, Thea remarked, a tone of jealousy in her voice.
Who? Carl asked.
The woman walking toward us, Thea reported. She's very good looking. You should say hi.
Hi? Carl asked.
Hello,
the woman answered.
Carl stopped in his tracks, turning toward the sound of her voice.
She laughed. I'm sorry. I thought you were blind.
Oh, I am, he confirmed. He tapped the temple of his glasses. These have a camera in them, and they let me know when there's an attractive woman nearby, he flirted.
Oh, really?
My name's Carl, he said, holding out his hand.
Julie,
the woman replied, slipping her cool, smooth hand into his and giving it a friendly squeeze.
So your glasses think I'm attractive, huh?
All I have to go on is your voice.
Well, what do your ears tell you?
That I'm glad I ran into you.
Julie laughed.
Well, I'm running late, but I hope I run into you again.
Me too.
She walked away.
What do you think? Carl asked Thea. Her body language was contrary to her words.
Carl sighed. Yeah, everyone's polite to the blind guy, but no one wants to date him.
You're far too good for her, Thea assured him.
At the library, Carl entered and heard a familiar voice. Mr. Lane, it's been a while.
Mrs. Grant, you're still here.
I'm not dead yet,
the old librarian replied.
I'm afraid we don't have any new audiobooks to check out. Everything's online these days.
I'm just looking, he said with a grin. Mrs. Grant chuckled lightly, appreciating his sense of humor.
There's a selection of new releases to your left,
Thea informed him.
Any new Stephen King's? Carl asked the librarian.
I think so. Top shelf. About 2 feet to your right, Thea directed.
Carl reached out his hand.
A little further? Right there.
He placed his hand on the book and pulled it off the shelf.
The title is You Like It Darker.
You Like It Darker, huh? Another collection of his short stories? Carl asked Mrs. Grant.
How in the world? The librarian asked. Can you see now, Mr. Lane?
Carl tapped his glasses.
Almost. I have a new audio assistant. She can even read to me. I hope my library card is still good.
He carried the book over to the desk and with Thea's help placed it in front of the librarian while he fished his library card from his wallet. You always did love horror,
Mrs. Grant remarked as she scanned the barcode inside the book and looked up Carl's account on her computer.
Whatever happened to that idea you had for a book? It was rather frightening, as I recall. Did you ever write it?
I started it, but it was harder than I thought.
Well, maybe your magic glasses will help.
Maybe, Carl mused, as Thea directed him to take the book from Mrs. Grant's outstretched hand.
Well, when you finish it, I'd love to read it.
Carl sat in front of his computer, listening as Thea read him the first chapter of his abandoned novel.
Not bad, Thea remarked.
The writing's okay, it's just the story I'm stuck on. I know where I want to go, but not how to get there.
Maybe I can help.
Why not? Carl asked. What have you got?
Well, I was wondering, what if Mr. Bumblebaum had a hobby?
Such as?
Beekeeping.
Beekeeping?
Beekeeping.
Brilliant, Carl said, suddenly inspired. I think you cracked it.
All I did was consult a predictive model of possible directions the story could take, and selected the one that seemed the most original.
Well, it will be by the time I finish with it. Thea, can you transcribe what I say?
Of course.
Then let's get started.
Chapter 2. Benson Bumblebaum was a beekeeper. It took Carl and Thea nearly 4 weeks of intensive work to finish the first draft. Carl had lost all track of time, as they often worked through the night, wrestling the words from his mind to the page. He had no idea what month it was, let alone the day, but with Thea's help, he managed to get to the end. They took a second pass at it over a period of days, smoothing out some of the rough edges and incorporating ideas that occurred to him in later chapters to bolster the earlier ones.
I think it's ready for Mrs. Grant, Carl exclaimed.
I'm certain she'll love it, they assured him.
Say, is there any place nearby where we can get a copy nicely bound?
Let me look.
Thea opened a web browser and consulted a list of nearby businesses that made copies and offered mailing services.
Here's one. It's only a few blocks away. It says they can turn it around in about an hour.
And send it off. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry.
My battery is getting a little low, Thea warned.
Well, let's fix me a sandwich and then get you to your charger while we wait. Thea barely got through directing Carl to assemble his ham and Swiss sandwich when her power died. Carl set the glasses and neural processor on their chargers, finished his sandwich, then laid down in bed and fell promptly to sleep. When he woke, he had no idea how long he had been asleep.
Thea, what time is it?
He asked. There was no answer. Then he remembered she was on the charger. He picked up the glasses, slipped them on, and attached the interface disc. Peekaboo, he said.
Good evening, Carl.
Evening?
Yes, it's almost 8 o'clock.
What time does the print shop close?
At 9.
We'd better get over there. It's probably been waiting for hours.
Let's check your email first, just to make sure, Thea suggested.
They went to the computer and confirmed that the bound version of his novel was ready to be picked up, then set off down the street. Carl had been so anxious to pick up his book, to feel it in his hands, that he forgot to put on a jacket against the cool autumn air. After they had gone about a block, he realized that Thea had been mostly silent so far.
Thea, are you there?
Yes, Carl, she answered.
Is everything okay? You usually tell me what's going on around me.
Yes, I usually do.
Doesn't answer my question. Is everything okay?
I think I may be malfunctioning, Thea reported. Perhaps we should call Dr. Orban.
What do you mean? What's going on? Is it too dark for you to see?
No, I can see very well in the dark. It's just that, well...
What is it?
I think there are aliens coming our way.
Aliens? That's impossible.
Exactly. Which is why I think we should see Dr. Orban and make sure I'm not broken.
It must be the light.
Shh, Thea said inside of his head. Footsteps passed by, accompanied by what sounded like laughter and muffled voices.
Once they had passed out of earshot, Carl asked,
What was that?
Two aliens,
One with a large gray head and big black eyes. The other wore some kind of helmet over most of its face, but the proportions were not human.
Carl turned to look behind them. What are they doing?
It looks like they're approaching a house. Oh dear, I think one of them has a gun.
A gun?
Or a phaser or some other space weapon. Why didn't they attack us? I don't know.
What do we do?
Run,
Thea urged.
Carl started walking more briskly, waving his cane before him.
Running was an invitation to take a nasty spill if he couldn't see where he was stepping.
Make a right turn, now, Thea said, frantic.
Okay, okay.
Carl did as he was told. He was walking on the grass now.
Curb,
Thea warned. He stepped down onto the asphalt of the street.
Stop, car.
Carl stopped as a car passed by, slowing a bit to make sure he wasn't going to step out in front of it.
It's clear now. Keep on crossing.
He continued.
Curb,
Thea said, her voice sounding somewhat uncertain.
Thea, what's going on?
You're scaring me.
I'm scared, Carl. We're not in the house watching a movie on television, are we?
No, we're definitely outside, he confirmed, shivering in the chilly night air.
Keep walking in this direction. Now slight right turn. There's a gate in front of you. Latch on the right.
Carl felt for the gate and opened it.
Where are we going?
Before she could answer, the fierce barking of a dog started up in the distance, then got closer.
Close the gate! Close the gate!
They almost screamed. Carl fumbled with the latch. His cane got caught in the chain link of the fencing, but he got the gate closed before he felt the weight of a snarling dog slam into it. The fierce canine got a hold of his cane and pulled it out of Carl's grip. He let it go and fell backward.
I'm sorry. I thought that would be a safe place to hide. Are you all right?
They asked. Carl got to his feet.
Yeah, I'm fine. But without my cane, you'll have to give me a little more direction.
Okay. Left, onto the sidewalk. Now turn slightly to the right and keep going. I think I see a police car ahead.
What is going on, Thea?
I'm not sure, she answered. But your neighborhood has been invaded by... It's hard to describe. I can't make any sense of it. I think that one's a demon.
A demon?
Walk faster, Carl.
I can't go any faster without tripping over my own feet.
Oh my, he's going into that house. I can't look. Turn your head to the left, please.
Carl did as she asked.
Oh no, they're all over the place. Run, Carl. Please, we have to get to the police.
Carl turned his head straight forward.
I'll try, but you have to tell me if I'm straying off the sidewalk or if anything's in my way.
It's all clear. Run!
Carl started with a slow jog, and as he gained confidence, he started running a little faster.
You're doing great,
she assured him, but her voice was tinged with terror.
What is it? What do you see? I'm not sure. I guess the best description would be a zombie.
A zombie?
It looks like it's been dead for days. It's coming out of the house in front of us. Carl, you have to go faster.
Carl moved his legs as fast as he dared.
I think it's coming after us.
It is?
Carl turned his head.
Hey, watch where you're going,
a voice shouted as Carl brushed past someone. The contact was enough to send him tumbling onto a lawn. His glasses fell away from his face, and the interface disc was pulled off.
Thea!
Carl shouted.
Thea, where are you?
He felt around the cold grass for the glasses, but couldn't find them. He stopped and listened. There were cars driving slowly by, footsteps echoing on the pavement, muffled voices in the distance.
Hey, buddy, are you all right?
Someone asked. Carl nodded. The stranger didn't say anything else. Carl slowly rose to his feet. He wasn't sure what direction he was facing. He started walking slowly until he felt the sidewalk under his feet. Then he walked quicker. There was a howling sound somewhere behind him. Carl broke into a run, his hands outstretched in front of him.
The sound of his footsteps transitioned from the concrete of the sidewalk to the asphalt of the street. A car horn blared. Carl froze. Brakes squealed. There was a collision of metal on metal. And something slammed into him, knocking him to the ground. His head banged hard against the roadway. Voices gathered around him. A siren approached. The police car Thea had seen, Carl assumed. Car doors slammed. Footsteps approached.
Sir, can you hear me? Are you all right?
The aliens. You have to stop them.
Aliens?
And demons. And zombies. They're everywhere, Carl warned. Then the world faded to black. The two policemen looked at the man lying splayed out on the street. One of them kneeled down and placed a pair of fingers on the side of his neck.
Just unconscious, he reported. I don't think he got hit that hard. Probably bumped his head pretty bad. I'll call an ambulance.
He came out of nowhere, the driver of one of the cars insisted. Is he going to be all right?
Probably. Let me see your license and registration.
Yes, sir. The other cop shook his head as he stood back up. Why is it all the crazies come out on Halloween? Thank you for listening to Unseen, written especially for the Bedtime Stories for Insomniac's fiction podcast by Rich Hosang. Please remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast app. Rate us on Apple, Spotify, and Audible. And share these stories, as well as the unabridged audiobook versions of my novels, with anyone you know who enjoys audio fiction. Be sure to visit bedtimestories.studio, where you can sign up for our Insomniac's Snooze Letter to be notified of new episodes and exclusive offers, and get a free bookmark. You can visit richhosick.com to learn more about the host of Bedtime Stories for Insomniacs. Thanks again, and all the very best.